And now, Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, right here on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome to Home on Long Island. I'm your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, and I'm thrilled to be here this Saturday morning after a wonderful week with some great weather. Quick hello to my co-host, Seth Selesno, who has been upgraded from sidekick to co-host.
Thank you, Sal. I'm flattered.
Well, I upgraded you because I did a week without you, and I realized you got to be cool. It's a lot easier to do it with you here. So welcome back to the show. We'll get back to you in a minute. I want to hear all about your vacation. Today's show, we're going to be talking about getting your pool ready for the season. And I love this topic because it tells me one thing. Spring is in the air. Birds are out. Bees are coming. Leaves are coming on the trees. And we're getting ready for baseball season and pool season. And we have with us today a good friend of mine and a very knowledgeable person in the pool business, Mr. Kyle Chaykin, owner of Chaykin Pools in Farmingdale. And Kyle's going to give us all we need to know to get ready for our favorite season, at least my favorite season. So how about you, Seth? Your favorite season?
It is the only season.
Well, spring, summer, beginning of fall, that's what I love. Winter, I can do without. That's why people go to Florida.
Or California.
So talk about hot weather. How was your vacation in the Dominican Republic?
It was half beautiful and half wet. We unfortunately, we had 3 of the 6 days, we had some rain.
3 out of 6?
3 out of 6, 50%.
Because I wasn't there with you.
Yeah, then we probably would have had 4 out of 6. But it was beautiful. It was great. We had a great time. Speaking of the spring and bees, I don't know if you heard, we actually had a couple of bee stings on the trip.
Oh, did you really?
My wife Pilar got stung by a bee, and Tina got stung by a bee.
They weren't killer bees, were they?
It doesn't look that way. They both managed to survive.
Oh, shucks. I mean, Well, how was the resort?
Well, it's a brand new resort, so it was nice, but they got a few kinks to work out.
You know, really?
For most of us, it was good.
Beautiful, you know? Beach. I mean, the beach was nice.
The beach was gorgeous. Probably the finest sand I've ever walked on. Not a shell or rock in the water. Beautiful water. The water was actually warmer than the pool water.
Really? Food? Food was good?
Food was good. Plenty of choices. Great places to eat. No, we had a good time.
Well, you were away, and it was good, and I'm thrilled that you went. You know, this trip that Seth went on, it's actually an Allure-sponsored trip for clients. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about what we do in our Partner Points program.
Well, it's our rewards program. It's called Partner Points, and we give all our clients an opportunity, as well as our employees, to earn a trip to the Caribbean. All expenses paid just for referring business to us. So clients earn points for every dollar they spend with us, as well as points for everybody they refer. Check out our website at allure.com to learn more information, and hopefully we'll see you out there on the trip with us next year.
Yeah, this trip has been a wonderful experience for us. It's an opportunity to interact with our clients as well as some employees. I'm sad I wasn't able to go this year, but I'll be back next year, and maybe we'll go there and the resort will be completed.
Yeah, quite honestly, the resort's probably a year or two away from being ready to handle you anyway.
What am I, high maintenance?
Higher than most, we'll say.
Oh,
we'll leave it at that.
Oh, boy. Hey, talk about high maintenance. Another Toyota story. Today's Newsday, New York accident blamed on a runaway Prius. I was thinking to myself, was it Larry David driving? But up in Westchester, Harrison and Westchester, and accelerated and put the brake on. The woman said couldn't stop it. And she was very fortunate. No one was hurt. And it was one of those things that just continue to, show what's happening with these Toyotas.
And some scary stuff out there.
Yeah, it's scary, and thank God nobody was hurt, and for the lady's sake, but they got to do something about that quick.
Something a little scarier than that. Did you ever hear of the Ed Block Courage Award?
Ed Block Courage Award.
The NFL. Each team every year nominates one of their players to receive the Ed Block Courage Award. It's presented to players who exemplify commitment to the principles of sportsmanship and courage.
Did they give it to the guy from The Blind Side? That guy was amazing.
No. Guess who the Philadelphia Eagles nominated on their team for this award for commitment to the principles of sportsmanship and courage?
Well, if it's Philadelphia Eagles, was it Donovan McNabb? Was it
that
Brian Westbrook?
That would be a great guess. It was neither of them.
Who was it?
That dude that killed all the dogs.
Oh, Michael Vick. Wow.
Can you explain how this can happen?
Well, you know what? It can happen because everybody deserves a second chance.
Absolutely fine with the second chance.
Guy
how
came
does he
to
get
the
a
team.
Courage award after this?
Well, guy came to the team. He went through a tremendous amount of personal turmoil. He came back. Was a decent citizen, worked hard for the team, performed, and you know what? Without being in the locker room, I'm not going to judge that one. The players know who they felt deserved it, and I'm going to back the players and say, good
couldn't
for them.
You pick someone who hadn't done all this stuff in the last couple of years?
But because of what he went through, Seth, is why they gave him that award, because maybe
that's
he
like
came
encouraging
out,
people to go out and commit crimes so that they can go back and say, hey, I'm rehabilitated, give me an award.
No, it's
how about the people that don't make those actions to begin with?
It's encouraging people that do run into challenges in life that there is an opportunity to rehabilitate, come out, and be a better person. So, you know what? I applaud the Philadelphia Eagles, although I hate the team. I love the New York Giants, but I don't think that you can't give the guys a hard time if they see that.
I have no comment on that. But speaking of football, you hear Robert De Niro is going to play Vince Lombardi in a movie coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
He's advertising today's paper.
He's amazing. I got to tell you, he's the one guy who just any movie he's in, he takes over the stage. He's just an amazing actor. And I don't know if you read about another actor. I don't know. I'm not from the 80s. I'm a lot younger than that. But I know you are. Corey Haimes. The 80s actor, child star.
That's my generation.
Yeah, drug overdose. And, you know, this guy was in a lot of good movies then. Lost Boys, Lucas, License to Drive. He had a lot of great movies. And, you know, you see something like that and it's pretty sad. So
it's a shame.
Well, we our condolences to the family. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of sad stories. And when you hear something like Michael Vick, I look at it as a triumph over some real difficulties. So. All right, well, before we go to our break, wait, by the way, Steve Levy, Republican or Democrat?
Do you have a coin?
Oh, that's unfair. That's unfair right now. We'll find out. I think News 12 did a poll, and I'm not sure what the results were, but maybe next week we'll have the results of that poll. I think a lot of Republicans are saying, you know what, he might be our best bet. Democrats are saying he's a Democrat already, but we got Andrew Cuomo, and I think he's looking at it saying, you know, my best opportunity to run for governor is as a Republican.
Maybe.
He has a heck of a lot more money in the bank than Rick Lazio. So that's a tough one. Rick Lazio is a great guy as well. So we wish him all luck. And we just want to remind you, if you want to contact us, give us a call. Our number is 631-292-9108. Or you can go to WHLI.com. Click on the bottom of the screen. You'll click on Home on Long Island. And there's an opportunity there to email us any of your thoughts or questions. And you can always go to allure.com. Our email question of the week is from Karen from Manaville. And Karen asks, this was a question referring to last week's show, the show on modular homes. And the question was, can you build a new modular house to fit on my existing basement? And the answer is absolutely. It's ideal. And I think we did cover that last week. The key to a modular, and as we call it, a Allure system built, is these things are custom made to fit the dimensions we need. And the whole idea is to be able to salvage that basement, salvage that footprint, and we could put a house right back on it, the exact. It's ideal, and you'll have the plumbing, the heating, the electric can all tie into existing mechanical systems for a tremendous cost saving. So, Karen from Manaville, I hope that we answered your question. And if you have any other questions, reach out to us. And we'll be right back with questions for Kyle Chaykin from Chaykin Pools.
On Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. Again, I'm the host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. With me, our co-host, Seth Selesno, who has been promoted. Congratulations, Seth.
Thanks. What happens if I go away again?
we're gonna fire you. Maybe make Kyle a new co-host. And our guest today is Kyle Chaykin, owner and president.
President, CEO, same as you, Mr. Farrow.
of Chaykin Pools in Farmingdale. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thank you very much.
So, Kyle, obviously you're here because the excitement in the air is we've got warm weather. It's time to start thinking spring, summer, pools, and all that stuff. And I want to hear all about it, but I want to first hear about you and know, a little background information. I know you got this nice role in the pool industry.
Well, yeah. Currently, I'm the president of the Long Island Pool and Spa Association, which is our local association of swimming pool professionals. I'm on the executive board of directors for the Northeast Pool and Spa Association, which is our regional. And I'm also sitting on the National Builders Council, as well as being the liaison between the APSP, which is our national organization, and the International Code Committee.
How do you have any time to swim?
I unfortunately don't have much time, Seth.
ACSP, I'm thinking all these initials and all these things. That's very impressive.
Oh, well, thank you.
You actually might be more impressive than our host we had 2 weeks ago, Jed Morey. So I just got to let Jed know I've got somebody with more initials and more titles and all that other stuff.
And they're all on my emails. I make sure of it.
Well, it sounds like you're quite involved, and it definitely sounds like you're very credible, and that's why we're having you on the show. We want to talk about pools, and we want somebody who knows the industry inside and out and can give our audience the best information. Tell me, when did you get involved in the pool business?
Well, back in high school, Sal, I was like a lot of young people on Long Island looking for a summer
job. Back in FDR's days?
Yeah, way back in the day.
The Great Depression?
Yeah. Those of us that were athletes were looking for summer jobs that might actually help us to work out a bit. And, you know, I started out digging trenches around swimming pools that were being built and turned into a vac service guy that was out there maintaining swimming pools for a local guy here on Long Island. And it was just one of those events in life that take place, and that gentleman went out of business. And I guess it was my senior year of high school. I picked up, at the end of my senior year, I picked up 25 clients, and all I was doing was vacuuming swimming pools.
Really? And then it just went from there to repair? And
as you're doing it through college, keeping the business afloat, thinking that, you know, someday I might get a real job. When I finally graduated from college and saw what was out there, I decided I actually liked what I did, and I enjoyed meeting people and getting out there, and slowly but surely started to build a business based on service, renovation, and then eventually got into building, and now we're a commercial pool builder as well as a residential builder and one of the largest service companies here on Long Island.
That's great. That's a common thread, this loving what you're doing. All our guests that we have on, they have this passion for what they do, and for you to have achieved so much and, you know, be so involved in this industry, you have to love what you're doing. So that's great. I'm glad you do. I love what I'm doing, and I love it even more when I have Seth in the room with me. Okay.
Not quite sure about that one, but okay.
Weather's nice. When do we start thinking about opening up our pool?
Right now, Sal.
Right now?
Absolutely. Okay. Every pool company on Long Island is starting to book up their jobs, and you know, those that want to be swimming in May have to really be up and running in April so that we can assess the pools, so that we can get them clear and clean, and people can start to use them. There are quite a few issues that pop up with pools, as I'm sure you're aware as a swimming pool owner. And when those issues pop up, if
I'm not just an owner, I'm an operator as well. I use the pool.
I love it. We need to assess those pools, Sal, because things that might be leaking or a cracked filter or any problem that needs to be repaired, if you wait until May to open up, it could take us a week to get back there to get it fixed. Not just me, but any company here.
Well, more based on, because I know, I remember I used to wait for my pool guy before I met you, Kyle. I'd wait weeks for him to come and take care of something.
Right. Well, we hope that we don't ever make anybody wait that long. But yes, we are very busy and we have a very strict schedule we try and adhere to as far as getting people open and up and running.
So now's your busy time. You're getting ready. People are starting to call. You're sending out your mailers. Get ready to start opening your pool. If you don't get ready now, you're going to be on the long end of a long list. You're not going to be in position to take care of any challenges that may occur, and it's going to delay you actually being able to use your pool. Is, like, this week too early to open up your pool?
Too early is a strong word. If you were planning a renovation or a repair of some kind, this would not be too early. As a matter of fact, we're in the middle of quite a few renovations right now.
Okay.
However, to open up your pool now might be jumping the gun a bit as far as if you're just looking to get ready for the season.
Is it because you're afraid we may get freezing temperatures again?
That's part of it, although if we had freezing temperatures, moving water can't freeze, so all we request is that our clients turn the pool on and let them run.
Okay.
It's just that nobody's going to be swimming until the middle, end of April at the earliest. So what we'd like to do is start in the very beginning of April, getting our pools, just the basic pool opening, started. Again, those with other service issues or that need a renovation or a repair, those are the people that will get started right now.
Okay. All right, so now we start thinking about getting our pool open. We make the phone call. We get on the schedule. What's the process? Tell me what you do to open up a pool.
Well, to actually open up a pool, once you're on the schedule, we will come in and take the cover off, of course, because most of the swimming pools here on Long Island are covered for the winter. We will then put all the equipment together, put all the deck equipment, the handrails, the ladders, diving board if it exists, put all the pump and filter system together, get everything up and running, check that everything is working, inclusive of the heater if you have one, an automatic pool cleaner of some kind, and then we have to make a return trip to come and clean the pool for most of our clients.
So that initial opening, it's a matter of setup, getting everything working, and you come back. Why can't you clean it right then and there?
Well, we like to add the chemicals and brush the pool when we first open it and allow for all the algae that may be present to die. That way it'll fall down to the floor of the pool and enable us to vacuum it out in hopefully one visit, if not two. Whereas if we start right away, quite frequently it'll tend to linger on because you can't get a complete vacuuming done.
If the pool's too green, you really can't see what you're doing anyway, so give it a chance to clear up.
Again, let the chemicals run through, do their job, and get it clear.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. What could you do in the winter to make it easier for the summer when you open it up?
Sure. Depending on the type of cover you have. If you have a mesh cover, one of the safety covers you may have seen advertised with the baby elephant standing on it.
Yeah, sure. I have that. I've run across a couple of those, too.
Yeah, not very successfully, we met.
just ask my friend Todd and my friend Seth here.
I love it. Yeah, they have a tendency to dip down into the pool. They will stretch, and unfortunately, your feet will get wet.
And you might end up in your Calvins for the night.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? I mean, let's go to that for a second. You've got a commercial on TV that shows an elephant on a pool cover. So here I am in my friend's backyard. Seth is there. And Todd and my friend Brian and I are sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? They put elephants on these things. Yeah, it wasn't a really big pool. It must have been, I don't know, 15, 18 feet across. I don't understand. This thing, you should
have
be able
a different
walk.
Model.
So I decided, let's go. We run across the pool. Well, after I'm waist deep in water, I get out, and water must have been 35 degrees.
Was that in your heavier days, Sal?
Yeah, it was my... Okay, thanks, Mr. Chaykin. We'll talk about you and your days of heaviness. But anyway, you know, so I run across it, but yet they advertise these pool covers that an elephant can stand on them.
You didn't end up in the pool, did you, Sal?
No, I didn't. But the flyer, I see the elephant's not wet.
It's all about safety. We are preventing a child or an animal from actually getting into the pool or getting into a situation with those old solid vinyl covers where if they were to fall in, the cover would wrap around them and make it nearly impossible for anybody, myself or you included, to break our way out of that situation, and we could end up drowning.
Okay, so the pool cover is all about safety. It's not all about not getting wet. And the idea is at the end of the day, you're going to walk out. You're not going to go in the pool, get covered, and die.
You're going to survive.
Can't we show it on the flyers and the brochures that the elephant's getting a little bit wet?
Well, this is all about advertising.
All right.
No, typically, Sal, when people play in, around, or above pools, they do expect to get wet.
Okay. All right, so false advertising. But anyway.
No, not false. It's all about safety, and okay. It is indeed safe. And Bubbles, the elephant, yes. Who's now residing down in North Carolina, is still doing very well.
Okay. He made it alive. All right, so we were talking about winterizing the pool,
well,
so
during,
to make it
during,
easy to open in the summer.
Right, during the winter months, what you can do if you are so inclined, is either hire a company like mine to come and provide what we refer to as winter maintenance, which twice a month we would come by. We would make sure that the chemical levels of the pool are within industry standards and that the water level in the pool is where it's supposed to be. These covers are guaranteed to stretch up to 18 inches. So they do require the water to be up that high to take some of the load off when we get a heavy snowfall. And if for some reason your pool has emptied out, what will happen is these covers will stretch and stretch. And at some point with some of the snow we had this past year, we've gotten a lot of phone calls from people who didn't realize they may have had a leak in their swimming pool. And we end up showing up and the cover's been torn and dragged into the pool. But again, back to the maintenance side of these covers, you can actually take liquid chlorine or bleach of some kind and pour it right through the cover into the pool. Try and hose down or wet down the cover so that the chlorine's not staying on the cover.
Okay.
And what that'll do is help to kill any algae that may start to grow once the water's heat temperature heats up.
Okay. But a big key to preventing any of that algae is to open the pool as early as you can.
Absolutely.
Okay. Once the pool's opened up, I mean, is it tough to maintain a pool? I always get asked, how do I maintain my pool? I didn't know anything about pools years ago when I first got a pool. And after a while, you know, it was actually fun. It was a nice Sunday thing for me to do, vacuum it, work on the chemicals. I just never could do it as well as the professional could do it. And then obviously time doesn't allow me to give it the time that I can do it. So I bring in a professional. They help maintain it. What does it take to maintain a pool?
So we're not going to sit here and try and tell you that it's rocket science to maintain a swimming pool. But it does take some time. You need to have that pool. Most people believe that just vacuuming a swimming pool is maintaining it, or perhaps just checking for pH and chlorine levels. But we've learned a lot over the years, and there are many more tests that need to be done on a weekly basis, not the least of which is total alkalinity, water hardness. We also know that we need to brush these swimming pools. And actually, our vacuers are what we call the maintenance guys that go out to vacuum these pools. That's the least of their job. Most of the pools nowadays have an automatic cleaner that's handling vacuuming for the most part.
Okay.
What we need to do is maintain the water chemistry. If it's a gunite pool with a tile border, we need to clean those tiles because there's no automatic cleaner that's going to do that. And we need to brush the surface of the pool. Brushing the surface of the pool will not allow for anything to stick to it. Algae, if left in one little spot of 4-inch radius circle, can multiply by hundreds of thousands inside of a day or two.
Really?
Exactly. So by brushing it, we're able to kill it.
So the floor of the pool, you go there, you take a brush, you brush it up, it now becomes loose, it floats into the water, and then the chlorine and the chemicals take care of it?
Correct. Algae, in particular, is the basic problem with swimming pools and maintenance.
Okay.
Algae will cover itself with a polysaccharide coating, and it will not die if you add chlorine because it's much like a child that takes antibiotic all the time. Eventually, they will grow an immunity to that antibiotic, and it will no longer kill the bacteria. So this polysaccharide coating is protecting the algae. Once you brush it, a basic level of chlorine will kill the algae. However, if you don't brush it, you'd have to raise the chlorine up to a level of 10.0
really?
Or 6.0 rather than the industry standard of 1.5 to 3 parts per million I'm referring to kill that algae.
And that would be so severe, the chlorine, it would be difficult to swim in?
You'd have to let it subside after over a period of time.
Okay, so you lose time in your pool and you can't enjoy it. I'm assuming you offer, actually you mentioned it, you offer maintenance services.
We do.
And you have a system, is this a weekly, can you do it weekly, biweekly, what do you recommend?
We recommend weekly service, and then we also ask that our homeowners pay attention to their pool. A swimming pool is not a once a week event like perhaps cutting your lawn is. Swimming pool, everything changes as soon as the weather changes. If it rains or if we get a couple of days of 100 degrees, somebody's going to have to pay attention. And I'm not asking our homeowners to go out there and actually do anything. What we're asking them to do is notice if there's a change in how the pool looks, give us a phone call and a heads up so that we could get back in there maybe ahead of your scheduled maintenance and do some preventive maintenance and not allow this pool to turn.
To get out of hand.
Correct.
Well, being in the building industry, preventive maintenance is always it's always the way to go. Saves you a lot of money in the future. And I do know that when the weather does get very hot, 100-degree type weather, chlorine burns quick. And you've got to make sure your chlorine levels don't drop so low that there's no protection. So.
Right. And not just the weather, Sal, but usage as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back here on WHLI 1100, home on Long Island.
We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, on 1100 WHLI.
Hey, welcome back. We're here today with Kyle Chaikin from Chaikin Pools, talking about getting your pool ready for the spring and summer season. And Kyle, doing a great job. We appreciate the information because this is a season people are excited about. And when we start talking about opening pools, people start thinking spring, flowers, swimming, and the great weather. Matter of fact, next week we're going to talk about getting your yard ready. We're going to talk about landscaping and doing all the things you need to do to get ready for the summer in the backyard as well. Now, if you need to give us a call, which we'd love to hear from you, if you have any questions, call us at 631-292-9108. You can email us, go to WHLI.com, go to the bottom, you'll see Home on Long Island, click on it, and there'll be an opportunity for you to send us an email that we can get right here. And we can answer your email questions, email you, or we'll answer it on the air. And if you have any questions, you can always learn more about what we're talking about by going to allure.com. And last, you can follow me on Twitter, at Sal_Farrow. Okay, we got all that information out. Back to you, Kyle. So we talked about opening the pool. We talked about things you can do in the winter to prevent it. We talked about maintaining the pool, which is a big part of it. And I know firsthand, having my own pool, I thought, this was going to be my project, and it was just, I just couldn't keep it as well as the professionals could. And I'm not saying that, people out there can't. I have a brother-in-law who does a great job with his pool. It's just one of those things that I think if you can get the right professional in and leave it to them and work with them, you can enjoy your pool more than working for your pool. But talk about maintaining the pool, you need a filter, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I remember when I was building my pool, what do I do? Do I do this filter? Do I do that filter? Sand, earth, Help me with this.
Well, Sal, there are three basic types of filter these days. There's cartridge filters, there are sand filters, and there are diatomaceous earth filters. A sand filter, and this might be a bit technical, but a sand filter can, at its most efficient, only filter out down to 25 micron, whereas a DE and a cartridge filter can both filter 1 to 5 micron.
Okay, so in layman terms, DE filters, the earth filters, and the cartridge filters can filter more particles than a sand filter.
Correct. The analogy is if you had an underwater light in your swimming pool and you turn it on at night and you have a sand filter, you will see little things floating in front of that light that you can actually see with the naked eye. With the DE and the cartridge, you cannot see that. It's gone.
Okay. And that's what I was told. But is there an advantage to getting a sand filter? Why would people get a sand filter then?
Quite frequently because they believe it to be an easier process of cleaning the filter. They believe because the filter medium, the sand, is not removed every time you backwash or clean the filter. So there's a step that is skipped in the backwashing process of a sand filter versus a DE filter, for instance.
So you don't lose any sand. When you backwash a sand filter, no sand comes out?
Absolutely none of the sand. It stays in the filter.
So how do you backwash it?
Well, what you're doing is you're reversing the flow of the water, and okay. You're knocking it loose from the sand, all the dirt and debris, and allowing it to go out a waste pipe.
Okay, understood.
And then you'll rinse it and then put it back into filter mode.
Well, when you backwash it, by the way, backwashing, can you explain what that is? We're assuming everybody knows.
Nothing more than cleaning your filter.
Okay, so you've used your filter for a week or two. How often do you backwash?
It depends. If your filter is sized properly for your pool and it's a DE filter, more than likely you won't backwash any more than once a month. Whereas with a sand filter, you'll probably backwash it once a week.
Okay, so a sand filter, you're going to backwash once a week. An earth filter once a month. And really what that is you've used your filter. It's cleaned your pool. It's taken the particles out. It's taken, just making your pool safe and clean. And it's time to now clean the filter.
Emptying the vacuum bag, Sal.
Okay, great. Now, the earth filter, the sand, reverse it, takes all the stuff out. You don't have to replace the sand. No sand comes out. I know I have an earth filter, and every time, it's just all the white stuff comes out. What's happening there?
We're actually removing the DE. The DE coats the grids that are in the filter, and that's what's stopping all the dirt and, quote-unquote, filtering your pool. That DE is then removed with the dirt, and then you have to recoat those filter grids. Actually, it's a few steps in the process of backwashing. And for those that are listening, if they wanted to go to my website at chaikinpools.com, that's C-H-A-I-K-I-N, pools, plural.com.
You've done this before, haven't you?
We have a list and a procedures of how to backwash your pool filter, whether it be a sand or a DE.
Okay, great. Cartridge. Do you backwash a cartridge?
You don't backwash a cartridge. You actually take the filter apart, remove the cartridges, and clean them with a garden hose.
Well, that seems simple.
It is simple, but the process of taking it apart, to me personally, is a little more involved, and I prefer the DE filters over the cartridge for ease of use for our clients.
So you answered my next question. Which filter would you get for your clients? Which one do you prefer to recommend to your clients?
We recommend the diatomaceous earth filters as long as they're sized properly. They can allow for quite a bit of water flow. They're very efficient. The System 3 cartridge filters, they're fantastic, except A, the cartridges go bad after a period of 4 or 5 years, generally speaking, and they're quite expensive to replace.
I was just going to ask, they're very expensive to replace?
They are, and quite frequently also, when you have to take them out in the beginning of a season, as we talked about earlier, a lot of people open up a pool that's very green. Well, all that green doesn't just disappear. It gets cleaned out, and it gets stopped in the filter. So in the case of a DE filter, you may actually have to backwash that DE filter once or twice a day to get rid of the green, but you'll also go from green to clean in about 3 days.
In a quicker time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cartridges are the same. The difference is it's not just moving and manipulating a handle. You actually have to take apart your filter, take out the cartridges, and clean them. The more you clean the cartridges, the faster you'll destroy them.
Okay. So the more you use them, the more you abuse them. Okay. Well said. Heaters. I know when I refer to my experiences, I didn't know what to do. I mean, gas heater, electric heater, heat pumps, talk to me.
Depending on the type of pool user you are will help to decide which heater you go with. There's no question that a heat pump is a more efficient way to heat your pool. The fuel heaters, the gas or the oil heaters of yesterday, which they no longer are being produced, are a faster way to heat your pool. And if you're just the weekend warrior type and you're only going to use your pool on a Saturday here or there, it might behoove you to stick with a fuel heater because you can raise the temperature of the pool water pretty quickly. Whereas the heat pump, the reason it's efficient is because it's basically acting as a reverse central air conditioning unit, Sal. What we do is we heat the water very slowly with a smaller or lower amount of BTUs, but once we get it to temperature, they're extremely efficient at maintaining that temperature.
Okay, so for efficiency purposes, a heat pump, once it gets there, it's going to maintain it easiest, lowest cost, whereas a gas heater, which I had at one point, just heats it up pretty quick, but there's a lot of work on it.
Correct.
Okay, that's great. And listen, I see the phones lighting up, so we're going to take a call real quick, and I'm sure this is a call for you, Kyle.
Great.
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, I'm doing good. What's your name?
My name is Sal.
We've got a Sal.
Sal in the house.
I want you to know Sal is my favorite name.
Well, it's a very good name.
That was my father's name and my son's name and the caller on the phone right now. Where are you from?
From Massapequa.
From Massapequa. Okay, so Sal from Massapequa. What is your question today for Mr. Chaykin?
I open my pool every year, and it's really dirty. Do I need to drain it? I've also heard that I should drain my pool every year. Is that correct?
Well, Sal, it's an interesting question, actually. Thanks for calling in. The reality is you never have to drain a pool. And as a matter of fact, if you have a vinyl pool, whether it be a steel wall, polymer wall, or concrete wall, we never recommend draining the pool because the vinyl may actually release from the wall and create a lot of wrinkles. In a gunite pool or a concrete pool, you can actually drain it any amount of times that you want. Here in Long Island, though, we've got to be very careful of hydrostatic pressure underneath the pool and make sure that the proper safety features were installed when the pool was built. The only real reason to drain it is if you think you have a lot of stains that may or may not come out with regular maintenance and chemistry. Then you'd want to drain it down, give it a nice little light acid wash or a power wash, and again, only gunite pools.
Can you, if you have a leak in the pool, do you have to drain it? Can you fix it in a vinyl pool?
Absolutely not. You never drain the pool.
Okay. You know, I know firsthand, I've seen projects we were on where people had issues and they drained their pool and all of a sudden you've seen the pool filled, the vinyl liner just floating. It's the hydrostatic pressure, the water from underneath, and if there's a high water table there, it's even worse. So I've seen it firsthand.
As have I, unfortunately.
So the water in that pool keeps the pool walls and everything in place the way it should be.
Correct.
Okay, great.
It keeps all the pressure where it should be.
So Sal, nice name from Massapequa. We appreciate your call. Hope we answered your question. And you could always go to chaykinpools.com, C-H-A-I-K-I-N, pools.com, and learn more because I know you've got some great – and I did look at your website. I wanted to learn a little bit more about your business. You have a very good website and a very educational website. You can really learn a lot on what's going on with pools. So
we worked on it very hard. Thank you.
So good job. By the way, you mentioned steel wall and concrete wall and on different type of pools. Can you just tell me what's –
well, vinyl liner pools all look the same on the outside. However, the walls are built differently. There are some that are built out of concrete, some out of steel, and some are polymer walls. Again, if they're done by a professional, somebody in the association, and we do recommend that you use an association member that's got the education and the know-how to build a pool, any of those three will work well for you.
Okay, so anyone more expensive than the other?
Not anymore. All used to be, but I guess economy of scale. Everything is now
come together. And that's if you're going to have a pool with a liner, the other choice is a gunite.
A gunite pool with a marble dust or a pebble fina type finish.
Okay, great. All right, well, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back and take some more calls here on WHLI 1100.
Home on Long Island.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. I'm your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. With me, my co-host, Seth Selesno. And how you doing, Seth?
I'm doing all right.
Been quite quiet there. And we've got our guest today, Kyle Chaykin. If you'd like to call in and ask Kyle a question on pools and getting your pool ready for the season, you can call us at 631-292-9108. Or you can give us an email, request some information at whli.com. Click on Home on Long Island, and it'll bring you right to a page that you can email us some questions. And you can always learn more about what we're talking about at allure.com. And as you've heard from Kyle before, chaykinpools.com. And Kyle does have a good email.
He's got a beautiful email.
My email's wonderful, by the
way. He's got a great email. Kyle's got a great website.
Shaking with Chaykin.
Yeah, Shaking with Chaykin. Oh, boy. Remember that, Shake and Bake?
Oh, yeah. I heard that a few times.
And we helped. Anyway, I know we got another call. I see somebody in the line. But before I go to that caller, what's the deal with slides and diving boards? I hear all sorts of different information. When I was shopping for my pool, I'm hearing, you don't want to get a slide. And I had to have a diving board. I think they're a lot of fun.
Sal, as long as you're dealing with a professional that's in our association, that's done their homework, diving boards and slides are perfectly safe. For diving boards, there's a lot of code. There's a specific diving envelope in the swimming pool based on the size of the board. Yes, in years past, insurance companies were giving us a very hard time insuring us if we installed diving boards, but that is not true any longer because we in the association have been able to show them a safe track record as long as they're installed to code.
All right, so you gave us the official line. They're okay, installed to code, they're safe.
Long-winded version, they're pretty darn good.
And they're fun. I know my favorite part of my pool is the basketball hoop. We've got one of those that are mounted in the masonry, and you can really have some fun. My kids hang on it.
I'm not quite sure why you call it basketball. I've been involved in one of those games. basketball is not what I would refer to it as.
Some people call it rugby in the pool.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of no holes barred, and you gotta come to play.
The problem is there's too many Pharaohs in the pool. It's almost unfair.
My kids got to help me. They got my back, the kids and the nephews. And we have a caller. Hi, how are you today? I'm doing great. We've got a great morning this morning with Kyle. What's your name, actually?
My name is Christine.
Hi, Christine. And where are you from?
I live in Elmont.
You're from Elmont. Well, great. Thanks for calling on our show. And you have a question for Kyle?
I do. I heard that there are things that people are doing to lower their energy costs with swimming pools. Do any of these things make sense?
Oh, Christine, that's a great question. It's one of my favorite topics.
I knew you'd get excited about that. Okay, let me just take a seat because I know you'll jump on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Christine, about 2 years ago, the town of Southampton decided to create their own energy code. And in doing so, they fumbled the ball terribly. So the Long Island Pool and Spa Association jumped in, and we helped to create a new standard for energy here in Long Island. The first thing that we recommend people do with existing pools is get rid of that 1 or 1.5 horsepower swimming pool pump that you have that you're probably running 8 to 12 hours a day and replace it with an energy efficient variable speed pump. These variable speed pumps are not cheap. However, you get to run them 24 hours a day at a fraction of the horsepower. What that does is it cuts down on the friction in the pipes and it enables you to make them extremely efficient. The equivalent amount of money that you are spending to run that pump is approximately 1/4 of what you're spending to run the 1 or 1.5 horsepower pump for 8 to 12 hours a day. What that means is, as expensive as the pump may be installed, the buyback time, approximately 1.5 years.
Well, that's an incredible buyback time for any type of energy saving devices. I mean, we talk about solar. We talk about geothermal. We talk about insulating your attic, doing new windows. That is one of the quickest buyback times I've ever heard of any product.
It is. It's a fact. The engineers from Pentair Water, which is one of the largest companies in our industry, have done all the math. They actually say that that's the nationwide standard. And here in New York, because our energy costs are so much higher than other places, they believe it to be less, but they're sticking to the 1.5 years.
Okay, so 1.5 years, based on national numbers, we all know we pay a lot more here. So a way to save money, a green approach to running a pool, is to change your traditional 1.5 horsepower, whatever horsepower pump, to a variable speed pump, which will run at about a 25% cost of a regular pump, but yet running all the time.
Running 24 hours a day, which in turn, Sal, will make
a cleaner pool.
Well, it'll keep a cleaner pool. It'll keep the water chemistry more stable. And most importantly for the energy portion of this, it'll help whichever heater you use to maintain the proper temperature. The biggest problem in energy efficiency of heaters, whether it be a heat pump or a gas or a fuel heater, is heat loss overnight.
Okay.
Most people turn their pools off overnight and run them during the day, as they should, because when the sun is out is when you need the pool to be constantly treated and filtered. However, if you can run it 24 hours a day, save 75% of the electric cost, and have no heat loss, your heater becomes that much more efficient as well.
And you can wake up and jump in the pool in the
morning. In the pool 6 o'clock in the morning, and you don't have to be at work that day until 9. You know your pool. Again, if you're using a heat pump especially, you set it and forget it because they're so efficient. They're on 24/7, and they're efficient because they maintain temperature. Don't let it fluctuate.
Heat pump, variable speed pump. What other green type of products can you use?
Well, Sal, I think other than the variable speed pumps, the next best thing for a swimming pool nowadays is salt chlorine generation. You may have 20 friends, and all of them talk about the new way they're treating their pool.
That's me. I did it. I love it.
Everybody, they tend to think of it wrong in that they think they have a saltwater pool. However, what we're doing is adding salt to the pool water. We are creating a solid level of salt at about 3,000 parts per million. And then we're using that salt, which is NaCl, and we're breaking it in half. And we're creating your own chlorine inside of your pool.
And that's very green.
Oh, it cuts out all the production, all the plastic. I mean, there's no more delivery and trucks burning gas to get it to your house.
That's great. Any other green items?
Well, obviously, Sal, there's solar and geothermal, as you mentioned. If you're doing your home, for instance, through Allure Home Energy, then it might be a great tie-in to use for your swimming pool as well.
Okay. Well, with all that being said, we're gonna end the show with an energy tip of the week. And I got to tell you, with all this great green stuff, I'd love for you to do the energy tip. You talked to me about if you don't have a variable speed pump, what's the energy tip?
Well, the energy tip, Sal, is most pools here on Long Island have both a pool filter pump and an automatic cleaning pump. What they don't realize is that the automatic cleaning pump doesn't need to run the entire time the pool filter pump is on, nor do they understand that the pool pump doesn't need to run 24 hours a day because you're spending way too much money with the old school basic one horse or one and a half horse pumps. So what our tip is, if you can, you put in a dual time clock, one for each of the pumps. You run your pool pump anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day, and you only need to run your cleaning pump from anywhere from 1.5 to 3 hours a day.
That sounds great. It's all about being green and saving money. Well, Kyle, thank you for being on our show. I think you did a wonderful job. I learned a lot, and I hope our audience learned a lot, and I hope that you're willing to come on when it's time to close the pool.
Sal, thank you for having me. More than willing to, and we'll see you when we open the pool for that Animal House basketball game.
You got it, my friend. Hey, Seth, we're going to close up. You got any information? Everybody's got to hear Newsday. It's been all over. Extreme Makeover Home Edition's looking on Long Island for a family. Can you help us out getting some information out there, Seth?
Just to remind everyone, the deadline is actually Monday. This Monday, March 15th, is the deadline to get your applications in for the next Extreme Makeover. They are looking for a family in Long Island. The email address is castlongisland@gmail.com. That's castlongisland@gmail.com. Get your applications in by this Monday, March 15th. Good luck.
That's great, Seth. Appreciate it. Well, anyway, thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, audience. I hope everybody has a great week, great weekend, and I hope you enjoy your home on Long Island. We'll see you next week.
Home on Long Island.